At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
People have told stories of the strange and supernatural for centuries. Tales of the restless dead return to haunt the living. Whispers of damned souls doing the devil's bidding on earth. Rumors of inhuman things that still hunt the old forests, untouched by the glare of modern life. There may be more to these stories than you could ever imagine. Join us tonight as we delve into the deeper truth inside these mysteries.
Ahoy, and welcome to another episode. Right, not much in the way of housekeeping today, so I won't keep you. Just to say that, obviously, lockdown and all the rest of it is proving very difficult to get shows done, but we are trying our best, so thank you very much for bearing with us. Okay, on today's show then, Lisa O'Hare. She's an alien abductee, but she's one of the rare ones who doesn't think it's a great experience. So that's coming up, and I think you'll find it interesting. She started off in IT, and it was only after retiring from that she became a psychic medium, and that led on to uncovering the ET experience. So take a listen to this, see what you think. Fascinating story. And again, if you've got a story you want to share on the show, it's supernaturalpod@gmail.com. That's supernaturalpod@gmail.com. Fantastic. And like I say, we'll hopefully get these shows out to you as quick as possible. Here's Lisa O'Hare. How did you first find out that you was a psychic medium? Let's go and start there.
Okay. One of the things that happened was my mother passed away, and I got a message from her that was to my sister, one of my sisters. I have three sisters. And when that happened, I was kind of shocked, and also it was odd because she was extremely insistent that I have to write everything down, I have to do everything in a certain way. I had to call my sister, I had to tell her in the certain order. I mean, it was really odd, and I actually didn't know that I was a psychic medium at that time. So that was strange. I did contact my sister, and, the message was kind of cryptic. So it was interesting. So the actual instructions were very specific, but the message was very cryptic, and I thought that was strange. But when I told my sister about it, she said, well, as a test, why don't you tell me what I hold in my hand when I meditate? And I was really scared, because one of the scary things about mediumship is that you have to say what you hear in your head to somebody else. You have to risk that it might be right, it might be wrong. So my mother or whoever told me that it was a crystal. And so I said, it's a crystal. Is it a crystal? And she said, yes, it's a crystal. So I got some sort of confirmation that whatever I was hearing was true.
Yeah.
So that was the first time. Then since my mom was sick, this was prior, before my mom passed away, I got a message from my grandmother on my father's side. And the message was from my grandmother, your dad is the way he is because of me. Now, at the time, I thought, okay, you weren't a very good mother. And, so he was kind of not a nice guy. So, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But what I didn't realize is that when I went there, my dad was just, because another sister was taking care of my mother, he was just sort of out of his mind with stress and not enough sleep and, all the things that go along with taking care of someone who's basically like an invalid, can't move. My mom had ALS. And so, there was like a big volcanic explosion during that time.
Yeah.
between me and him. And so that was sort of like a warning, but I didn't know it at the time. But those were the two times. And when I found that out, I then thought, well, maybe this is what I'm supposed to do, you know, because I don't know what this is for. So I looked for a medium mentor, somebody who could teach me the ins and outs of mediumship. Even though I could, you know, gain information from certain people, I actually didn't know how it all worked. I didn't know if you connect to them in a certain way and you try to keep out any negative entities that try to come in and, you know, all of the workings.
Yeah. What sort of religious background was you coming from, or was there anything there at all?
I was actually, you know, I'm kind of formally Catholic. Okay. And, you know, so I did go to church. I moved around a lot as a kid. And because of that, sometimes you move to places that didn't have a Catholic church. So, you know, I kind of tried as a just an exploratory thing for myself, tried out all of the different religions. You know, I tried out the Baptists and the you know, the Pentecostals and the different ones, because, you know, they're all a little bit different. But I'm not really Catholic. I don't follow Catholicism anymore. And so, you know.
Yeah.
So I really didn't have that anymore, the religious part.
Yeah, it's just nice to get that little bit of background, because obviously when you're dealing with, you know, psychic ability and stuff, obviously religion can sometimes cloud the issue, where people might sort of like almost block it out because they don't want to accept it, you know, because of their, you know, beliefs. So, but how did you go from being a psychic medium, or understanding that you was becoming one, to this revelation of this ET abduction?
What I did was I started going to the medium. And, you know, when I first got there, she said, "You're just like me." So, you know, then I got the confirmation that I really was that, and it wasn't my imagination. Because, you know, when you hear messages in your own mind, you have to wonder, you know.
Indeed.
And so I went to her, and she said she mentored. And so I started working on that, you know. But I found that my I just didn't. You know, kudos to all mediums, you know, because it is really hard and it's really scary and it's stressful. And so I decided I didn't want to go that route anymore. So what happened was, during this time, I had been meditating a lot, and my and I would talk to entities that I called my spirit guides. And they told her, the medium, "You can go, you're at a crossroads right now. You can go to the mediumship," because I had started getting this feeling like that wasn't my path, or "you can go another direction." So I thought, well, I'm not really into this mediumship thing. So why don't I just go to the unknown? Because that's actually a thing that I do. I don't usually go to the known path. I go to the unknown. So that's how it started. And then I was, you know, she told me meditate a lot, and, you know, we'll just kind of work with it as it comes up. We won't, you know, define it in any way. And then at one point, and this is in 2017, I was in my bed meditating, because I found that meditation helps a lot when you're trying to sleep. And I found out that I felt this very, very negative presence in my room. And I asked my spirit guide at the time, his name is Korig, I think it's male, it seemed like a male, though apparently they don't really have a sex, but I just assigned male, or gender, I mean. So he said, I said, "What in the heck is that really horrible feeling of negativity in my room right now?" And he said, "Oh, those are the ETs. They took all your eggs and they're coming to take you now." And at the time, I was just horrified, because that is the last thing I would think that was in my room. And I also don't have children, and I didn't have the ticking clock. And I wondered, you know, all that those years, why I didn't. And, you know, this was kind of like a way of explaining it. So that's what happened.
Yeah. So what did you see then? What was the first thing you saw?
The first thing I saw was actually a praying mantis. Now, I had had an incident where I'd cut my leg on a recycle bin. Here in the U.S., we have these tall standing recycle bins, and they're made out of plastic, and they're they can be extremely sharp, apparently. I didn't realize this until I ran into one, but I cut my leg, and in the beginning, you know, it sort of throbs and then it goes away. So that night I was laying in bed and my cut started throbbing, and it just started really hurting and really throbbing. And then I looked up and there was a large, like 7-foot praying mantis next to my bed. And she was telepathically telling me that her name was MoMA, and that she was wanted to take me to her ship to take care of my leg. And when I saw her, I was very transfixed. It wasn't that I was paralyzed, as a lot of people say.
Yeah.
I just could not believe what I was seeing. You know, it's sort of like, oh my gosh, you know, what? I've never seen anything like this before. I've never seen anything this big. It's a giant bug. And I just thought to myself, oh my gosh, you know, this is just unbelievable. And she's talking to me in my head, not so telepathically. I didn't really look. Somebody else asked me if I saw her lips moving, but I don't really remember that. It was at night. And so I, you know, we had a conversation where I just told her I couldn't trust her because I didn't want to agree to be taken to a ship, because this, you know, was not something I really wanted.
Well, that's understandable, I suppose, from that aspect. So, did you see her again? I mean,
I didn't see her again. She didn't come, but I think she did take me, because my next day my leg didn't hurt at all.
Okay.
So I think whatever. I thought it was a beacon, you know, that was calling her. So that gave me the impression that I had an implant in my knee, and I obviously damaged it. I saw another guy, or a male, what seemed like a male praying mantis. He came into my room. He pointed at me and I fell asleep. Prior to that, he hit me with something, on my lady parts, as I call them. And, it felt kind of like a tuning fork or a spoon. And so those are the two that I saw. Later I saw other things. I would see spiders, very large spiders. And some people. I also saw some people. And it seemed to me that they were kind of working together. The people and the bugs were working together towards some common goal.
Okay, and this is all taking place in your bedroom?
Yes.
And the people, were they in your room or were they somewhere else?
Sometimes they're in my room. So there was one time where I saw three males come into my room, people, and they held up a patch. It looked like a square of leather, and it was on their index finger, middle finger, and ring finger, and they held it up, and then I felt I was unable to stay awake, so I fell asleep. A lot of the times, from what I've looked back on, it's, you know, by looking in at my dreams and what's behind my dreams, I've found that I've actually been on ships sometimes. Other times I've been in operating rooms. Sometimes I'm underwater in an operating room. So I've seen a lot of that kind of thing. There was also a lot of underground buildings, where I'm in I'm underground. They have like barracks, and I'm in stuff like that. I've also seen airplane hangars, where I'm on a bed and I'm being worked on. So, you know, I do see some ships, but I don't see a lot of insides of ships. When I see things, it seems like I am the focus. So what's happening to me, it's from my perspective of laying on one of those shiny metallic tables. I can see the apparatuses coming towards me, but not actually in a ship where I can see all the controls.
Yeah. So can you describe the people? I mean, what did they look like? Because obviously it's conjuring up in my mind what people always see, these Palladian-type things, but I think you're talking about something different.
Well, I've seen, besides regular people like us, like you and me,
yeah.
I've actually seen some very tall, like, light beings. That's all I can describe it as, but it's like a bright light, and it has a human-ish form. I've seen them, and I don't know what those are. And I've also just seen regular people, you know, like people with, if I'm in an operating room, then they're doctors. They look like people, as far as I know. And they're working on me and I'm on a table and, they're doing things to me while I'm there. I've also seen people that turn into reptilians and then back to people. So I've seen a few different kinds of beings that I can't, you know, really understand. I've also seen a spider that was wearing what I called a people suit. And I don't know if that means that that guy turned into a person and then turned back into a spider. I don't know. Or if he unzipped his people suit and, you know, walked out of it. I don't know.
Yeah. So, what, I mean, can you describe what these people are wearing? I mean, when you're in the medical situation, they're just wearing general white scrubs and...
Yeah, they're wearing green scrubs with white masks and or white lab coats. I've seen name tags. Dr. Peterson is one of them. So I've just seen basically medical personnel.
So does it feel more scientific rather than medical, or more medical rather than scientific, or is it a combination of the two, do you think?
That's a good question. I think that it is more scientific than medical. It seems to me that it's more experimental. I mean, it's not, they're not helping me, you know. I don't think that, you know, I feel that they are trying to do something that benefits me. It feels to me that they're trying to do something that benefits them, and I don't know what it is.
Well, this is what I say about people who experience alien abduction, if that's, you know, the term, well, it is the term to use. You know, a lot of people go down the road of saying, you know, it's for my benefit and it's wonderful experience. And I've never really got that. Obviously, I've not experienced it. So, you know, I'm just talking from afar. But, you know, the way you're saying it, the way, you know, you're feeling it, oh, that makes a lot more sense to me. And the fact that these people don't tell you what they're doing or why they're doing it, again, leads more credibility to the fact that they've probably not got your best interest at heart. Because, you know, if a doctor's going to give you a jab, vaccines aside, obviously, if a doctor's going to give you a jab, then generally they're going to tell you why they're giving you it, if you're in a state that you can, you know, you're coherent. They're going to tell you why and what it's going to do to you, and, you know, you know it's for your own benefit. But in this case, where they're just coming, you know, not your request, and I presume you're saying telepathically or even audibly that you don't want this to happen.
Right.
Yeah, and then they still do it. So something going on there. But going back to this tuning fork then, so this mantis being... And these mantis beings, before we go into the tuning fork, do you get the impression that they're from this planet, or, you know, are these traditional sort of aliens?
You know, I don't know. No, everyone else sees grays, but I don't. I mean, I've seen them when I tried to look, you know, behind, you know, other things that have happened to me throughout my life. But right now I'm seeing praying mantis, and I don't know that any other people, or most people, don't associate, you know, praying mantis, large 7-foot praying mantis, with their abduction experience. And I'm not saying those people aren't, you know, maybe they don't see them, I don't know, but I don't think they're from here, but maybe they are. I mean, we don't know what the government's really doing. They could be, you know, bringing some of these maybe they shot down a ship and, you know, they have to work with them. I don't know. But I don't think they're from here because I don't know. I just don't think they are.
No. Well, I just wondered if you got an impression either way, really. So this male mantis being, just incidentally on that, I've heard another person talk about mantis beings coming to him, and I think Simon Parks even mentioned this, but he really felt it was like a maternal energy coming from it, he actually enjoyed being around them. So it's completely different to what you're saying. But again,
well, that's great. I mean, it's good to know there are other people who have had it, because it sort of makes me sound a little bit crazy.
Yeah, well, but so this male mantis then, is he speaking to you before he hits you with his tuning fork? And can you describe that in detail? I mean, what that felt like, and what you think was going on there? I mean, obviously you're guessing, but
yeah. Well, I'm not sure. I think that they really needed me to go to sleep, and you know, early on I was fighting them by trying to stay awake a lot of times, and so he was probably, it felt like he was sent in to be the closer sort of thing. And so he came striding into my room. I saw him. He hit me with something like a spoon. It felt like he just slapped it on. And then, the tuning fork was, felt like vibrations throughout my entire body, starting with my lady parts. And it was uncomfortable. And then he pointed to me, and then I fell asleep. So.
Yeah.
That was basically it. It was very fast. And, you know, it's one of those things where you think, let me think about this some more. You know, well, what really happened there? You know, but it was just pretty fast. So,
So going back to this egg situation then, because obviously a lot of people talk about egg harvesting and this kind of thing going on. I mean, is this the sort of impression you get?
Yes, and I actually looked at that, and it looked like they, you know, had me when I was younger, and so they just somehow aged me and then harvested all the eggs, and then they, you know, de-aged me, so to speak. So that's what I saw, but yeah, so they took them all. I don't know what they did. I have had a couple of times where I've had dreams, or I've looked behind it and I've seen that they want me to feel something for whatever they made from my eggs. So, for instance, a lot of people talk about meeting their hybrid children. I don't know if you've heard that before.
Yeah.
But so they've come to me and said, this is your baby, and how do you feel? And I would say, well, I think one of the times I said, well, I'm not going to tell you what I feel because I know you'll use it against me. So I thought that was pretty wise of me to say that in the midst of this, because they seem to want to be able to manipulate you by using your emotions about your children. So if you have a child and you're worried about what they're going to do to it, then they have complete control of you. And so I felt like it was a negative thing, so I wouldn't admit to having any feelings, or maybe I had no feelings because it's not my child, right?
Yeah.
So that's what happened with that. And so I don't really trust them very much.
No. I mean, you don't trust the humans, if they are humans, you don't trust the humans as much as you don't trust the mantis. Is it equal, or do you think, I don't know. I mean, do you think there is, I mean, it doesn't sound like, I agree with you. It doesn't sound like they've got our best interests, or yours, definitely, at heart. But do you wonder if there is something behind this? And maybe it's bigger than they can actually let on. Maybe they can't tell you. Do you know what I mean?
I really think that it is big, whatever it is that's going on. But I think that, you know, they're either trying to make a weapon, or they're trying to understand the human body, or they're trying to understand the human brain. And because they don't, nobody would, well, I don't think so, but if anyone's scared, they're not going to agree to helping them. So, you know, they just use manipulation in any way they can to get their needs met. And I actually don't trust any of them. I don't trust them if they're human, and I don't trust them no matter what they are, because there's too much secrecy. Yeah. You know, wiping our memories. And so they have this agenda, but they're not telling us what it is. And instead they make us, you know, make fun of us and say we're all crazy and we're, you know, schizophrenic, or we have this problem or that problem. But they are wiping our memories. So they have if they wanted us to make our own conclusions and decide what's going to happen to us, they wouldn't wipe our memories, right?
No. Yeah,
so they're doing something we wouldn't like. So, you know, whether we remember it at one point and we don't remember it now, or we're crying or screaming while it's happening and then it happens and then our memory is wiped and we have no idea of it the next day, whatever's going on, they're still hiding it from us.
What about other people in the same situation as you? I mean, do you see any of these people in these hangars or?
Oh, yeah, I do. There's a lot of people. So, you know, there are other people like me, but I haven't been able to find them.
What would you say the breakdown is between male and female?
That's an interesting question. I would say it seems like it's more women than men. But, you know, as I've heard that there's a lot of women or men who are, you know, being, you know, having their sperm taken.
Yeah.
So.
Milk.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, in some ways, it seems like there would be more women because they're being, you know, they're becoming incubators, right? So.
Yeah. So, with a lot of abductees, we come across this Borea to save the world, this message of hope, and this cataclysm is going to happen, but we're here to protect you after that and that. I mean, you've got none of that.
No, and I also wonder, and this is my own opinion. Mm-hmm. I don't want anyone send me hate mail, but I wonder, too, if sometimes the people are being manipulated by hypnosis. You know, sometimes they use hypnotic regression, and I don't want to do that because I don't want to give somebody else another, you know, a way into my brain to suggest to me that this is really good. So I've noticed that a lot of people who have hypnotic regression will then say, "This is so great. I finally understand," you know, and it makes me wonder if the hypnotic regression is helping or opening up something in their mind. I'm not saying that the people doing the hypnotic regression are negative or have their own agenda, but it's almost like they hit upon a certain part of the brain that says, "No, this is really good. This is good for you," and they're really going to try to help us. And, you know, it seems like there's still, you know, a way for them to say, this is my agenda. My agenda is to make it feel good. That way you'll be more accepting of it, and then I can still get what I need. So that's why, that's what I think. So with the contactees, I mean, I hope that they really are contacting the good guys. I hope there are some. But from my experience, there are no good guys. They're all bad, and they all have their agenda, and they're not telling us what it is.
Yeah, I agree. What about, I mean, have you got a partner at all?
Pardon me?
Have you got a partner?
Yes, I do.
What does he see when this is going on, or is he just in a complete comatose situation?
Yeah, he's in a coma. He's one of those guys that falls asleep as soon as his head hits the pillow, and he's totally out. He doesn't remember any of his dreams. He is just gone. So, you know, he hasn't seen anything. There are a couple of times when we were in a hotel, you know, where he's seen something that I've seen, but it's very, very rare. Sometimes he'll see, you know, like a big white rectangle light that comes into the room. He's seen that before. And he didn't know what it was, but, you know, he's sort of a science-y guy and has a explanation, you know, a logical explanation for everything. And so he doesn't see it. He accepts me that I'm having this experience, but he doesn't see any of it.
And it's never happened to him, presumably, obviously, from that.
Yeah, he doesn't remember it. And so if you don't remember it, you know, or if it's, you don't feel like it really is happening to you, then, you know, you can't relate to it.
Yeah. What about cameras, setting up cameras or recorders?
Yeah, I set up some cameras. Yeah. Early on, I set up cameras, and they were the type that were kind of like considered nanny cams. They look like a picture frame, and I put up two in my bedroom facing my bed on a bookshelf. And every single time the next day, my camera frame was not turned off and not on. It was in the middle. So it didn't record anything. So that happened over and over. And finally, I just gave up because there was just no way I could seemingly catch them in the act. That was frustrating. I did stay up a couple of times trying to stay awake long enough to, you know, see them, because I would hear low flying planes or helicopters flying over my house. I would sometimes hear it sounded like feet walking around on the roof. And then I would sometimes see lights or other like pulsing lights through my through the tops of the curtains, and but I could never, they were just waiting for me to sleep. That's how it felt. So I just finally gave up.
Yeah. So where do you see this going? I mean, is this still ongoing?
It is ongoing right now. I have actually, though, using the tools from my book, I have used, I have gotten it down. So initially I was getting what I thought, abducted four times a night. Now I think I'm only getting abducted once. And so, but, you know, of course, we don't know, because, you know, it's hard to tell because you're sound asleep, you're knocked out. But initially I was getting poked in the eye on a regular basis, like as a punishment, because apparently whenever I'm asleep, I'm not very cooperative either. So when I'm awake, I'm not cooperative, and I'm not when I'm asleep. So I would get poked in the eye and I would be able to see it. The next day, I would, if I was driving and, you know, some glare from a back window of a car in front of me hit me and I could see, you know, if I closed my eyes, then I could see all these little, like, holes in my eye as of a reflection, like of a negative, and there would be different patterns. And so that isn't happening anymore. And so I have seen, my dreams have all changed. Everything's changed. So things are getting a lot better. Those tools actually do work. And my path is changing quite a bit. So it's good. I am making progress.
Good. Yeah. So these tools then, this is for people in a similar situation to you to use to, help you through this. Is that what these tools are about?
That's right. Because I tried everything prior. When I went to the medium, you know, I asked her for help with the ETs after I found out about them, and she tried everything that she could think of. I mean, we tried stating our right to free will before bed. We said no, you know. She had me reading out what my husband would call my manifesto, you know, my right to free will, my sovereignty, you know, all of the things that, she could think of. Plus, we also tried to break soul contracts, and we went to Akashic Records. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Yeah.
And we just tried everything, and I couldn't break the contracts. Nothing works. So I finally realized I really need to look up something. I need to Google this or DuckDuckGo, because I need to find out what are other people doing. Have anyone else found anything that works against this? I found a lot of stuff. I tried it all because I didn't want to leave any stone unturned. And then I found these tools, and then I started using them, and it really worked.
I mean, it does very much sound like somebody somewhere has given permission for this to happen. But we just got no way of knowing, have we? I mean, these people, when they're around you, the humans I'm talking about now, because are they talking in telepathy as well, or is that more audible?
You know, it's a good question. I think when I'm looking back, I'm hearing it, and some of the time, the people are moving their lips, but the words aren't, you know, it's like their lips are not synced to their words, you know, like when you're watching TV and you can tell that there's something wrong with a video.
Obviously, that could be, you know, if you're in some sort of drug state, I guess.
Yes, or it could be that they're doing telepathy, but they don't want you to know it, so they want you to think that they're talking, so they're moving their lips, but they're actually doing it through telepathy. Awesome. So I don't know.
What language did he speak? I mean, is it English? Is it American?
It's English,
American English, yeah.
Right, yeah, American English.
Yeah. And what about the makeup of the humans that you see? I mean, what sort of, you know, gender, you know, what's the breakdown in gender and, you know, and ethnicity maybe?
It seems like they're mostly male, you know, because a lot of them are in the military. A lot of them are doctors and they're male doctors. I've seen a few women, but not very many. I actually saw that I was on a ship in a cage, and it was a British guy who was a doctor. He was wearing a white coat, and he, you know, said, you know, this is your real life, basically. And that other life is an illusion. So,
Well, so that's certainly not a bit more often now these days, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I mean, it's fascinating, and you know, I mean, abductees always there's the odd occasion where they're asked if they want to go with them. So I'm going to ask you the question. I mean, if they came to you and said, you know, would you like to come with us, you know, permanently? I mean, what would you say?
I would probably say no.
Hmm.
I have curiosity about what they would do. I just feel too fearful. I mean, just the thought of that, and that's a good question, but the thought of that gave me like a feeling of terror.
Yeah.
So
you're not the only one, but I thought I'd ask.
But no. So as much as, you know, we have our problems here on Earth, I don't think I would go with them.
No. So, you know, well, in closing here then, do you want to tell us a little bit about the book and what you hope to achieve with the book and what people can get out of the book?
Yes. My book is called Abducted and Furious, How I Fought Back and How You Can Too. It's on Amazon. It's an ebook and also print book. It's only on Amazon right now because I'm a new author and I did self-publishing. The book is just basically exactly how I fought back, with like a little tutorial in the middle. It talks about, you know, my story prior to it. It talks about, remote viewers that are a group of military people that go around, you know, harassing people, I think, that have been affected by ETs. I also have my journal in there in the book. Initially, I didn't want to put my journal in, but my spirit guides insisted. And I can see now that it was a good thing because I'm able, every time I read the book, because I've changed, things have changed so much, I have to read the book prior to one of these podcasts. And I really see a lot of things that make more sense to me now. So putting my journal in there was a good idea, even though I didn't like the idea. There are also a lot of exercises in there. It talks about two other books that I used when I found the tools. I actually found them in other books. It talks about healing. There's a modality called Reiki, which is not in my book, but to give you an idea, it's sort of hands-on healing. And in my book, I talk about one called La Ho Chi. It's L-A-H-O-C-H-I. And there is a website in there. And it really helps me after my abduction to sleep, because I don't know about other abductees, but when I come back from an abduction, I cannot sleep. I'm completely awake. And so I need to sleep. So I started using La Ho Chi, which has a has hand positions for yourself. You can also, you know, La Ho Chi other people, but this is basically for you, and it's basically self-care. In my book, too, I talk about meditation, how important it is. It really helps calm you down. And I wrote this book because I wanted to help other people like me. Anyone in this situation where you're being abducted, you're very fearful, this will help you. When you use the exercises in the book, you will be able to see what's really going on. And when you are, and then it'll give you a little piece, like a piece of the puzzle. And so each time you get a piece of the puzzle, it makes a little bit more sense. You might be scared, but you might not, you know? So I think if people, a lot of people are afraid of finding out more, they don't have to be afraid. They can, your mind gives you only what you can handle. So you see a piece of the puzzle, you write it down. Another thing is I write down all my dreams. Every morning I write in my journal and what I learned the night before. And, you know, also that feeling of helplessness that most people have, they have it because they feel like they're out of control, that they have no control over the situation. And I had that too, and I was scared too. Over time, I'm less scared. I'm not scared at all anymore, but, I realized that there were clues there, and if you just follow the clues. So with me, I started looking at whether I noticed my clothes smelled bad after I'd been abducted, and I finally realized that it wasn't that I was not putting enough detergent in. It was just that I was leaving in those clothes, and when I came back, they smelled. So giving me the indication that I'd been away for a couple of days and I was in those clothes and they smelled, or the environment made them smell. So what happens is that gives you a sense of control. Okay, I know I left last night. I don't know where, but if I, right before I go to sleep, if I notice as much as I can and try to remember it the next day, when I come back, I can write all that down. And it might not make sense to me right now, but later it will make sense to me. And so if you methodically write everything down, you can then make sense of it. And it gives you that feeling of control back, where you're not helpless. You're not just being taken against your will. Well, you are. But now you've turned the tables. Now they're also the guinea pig. And, you know, that makes you feel better. So, you know, and then as you get the puzzle pieces in place, and you actually start really looking at it, and you kind of look at it kind of like a scientist of your own experience, then you feel better and better, and eventually there's just no fear there anymore.
Yeah. Well, the journal definitely seems like a good idea to me. I mean, it might even, over time, you might see patterns as to when, you know, you're more likely for this to happen, and certain times of the year, or, you know, times of night, and, you know, maybe that'll help you stop it happening almost.
Exactly. I mean, I think, for me, I found that being not afraid is really important. And because I've been exposed to these things that maybe would scare me, you know, or they scare me, but then the more I get exposed to it, the less scared I am. It almost seems like to me, and this is my opinion, that the ETs really feed off of our fear and our, you know, panic, our anxiety, all these things. Mm. And it may be that I become less of interest to them because, you know, I'm just not afraid anymore. But, you know, you have to sort of desensitize yourself a little bit to these things. And that's where the journal comes in. It really helps a lot.
Yeah. Do you think over time they will answer more questions, or do you think you're always just going to get a blank?
I think we're going to get a blank, because yeah. I think whatever it is, it's probably so heinous that they don't want to. I mean, I think people would probably just kill themselves rather than, you know, go through it. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Because whatever it is, they don't want to tell us now. What are they really doing? So that's my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's definitely a concern. I mean, it's difficult to say. Obviously, I can understand people not being in the situation, so they, you know, quite easily say it's all a load of crap, you know. No one's getting abducted and all the rest of it. But even if just a few percent of the people that say they're getting abducted are just, if they're true, then, you know, what is going on? And we're no closer now to the answers than we were 10, 20 years ago. So it is concerning.
It is. And not only that, but there are, and I really believe this, that it seems like there are no abductions are alike. So,
yeah, that's the worrying thing.
And that makes it harder, right? Because now, you know, you have your story, I have my story, and other people have their stories. Well, how can we make sense of that? We can't, because they're all different stories. And I really think that's by design.
Yeah, it does sound like design, yeah.
Because then they, you know, then it's unclear what the real story is.
Yeah. Well, I say it's interesting, and you know, I hope the book does well, and I hope you get, you know, hopefully. I mean, is there a way for people to contact you in the book if they've got a similar experience?
Yes, my email address is in the book, but also I'm on Facebook right now. My page is called Abducted and Furious. I have a Facebook group.
Okay, great.
And you can also email me at abductedandfurious@yahoo.com. And my website is lisaoharaonline.com.
Nice. So, yeah, hopefully you get some messages coming in. You know, you might even find people in your local area, which would be exciting.
Yeah, I've already tried that, but it's funny. The majority of people all say that they're happy. So that's why I even wrote the book, because I couldn't, you know, as much as I wanted somebody else to use the tools and we work together and try to, you know, compare notes, because unfortunately when you're by yourself, you can't say if this is true or not, because you have nothing to bounce off of it. So I looked for people, I couldn't find them, and I just finally decided I think the only thing to do is to write a book, because at least I would get some exposure to other people. And, you know, if they tried it and then they let me know what their success was with it, or if it worked for them or didn't work for them, or they tried different things that worked better, I mean, it would be nice to be able to compare notes, but I just can't find anyone like me. So I know they're out there, but I don't know where they are.
Well, like I say, hopefully they'll get in contact with you, you know, soon enough. You mentioned that your clothes were smelling when you was coming back, and, you know, indicating that you've been away for a while. So have you had any missing time?
I've had missing time only while I'm driving in my car.
Yeah.
And this is really weird. I've heard other people have had this too.
Yeah, it's done. That's happened to me, yeah.
Really? Yeah. Tell me about it.
I was traveling back. It was late. I was meant to be arriving. There's the old satellite navigation system there. It was telling me I was getting home at 12:30 at night, which, you know, like I say, was late. And I was driving along, coming up to the junction. Next thing I remember, I'm on the other side of the road, heading towards another junction, which would take me sort of back on myself to come back to where I was. I looked at the satellite navigation system there, and it was an hour had been added on. So now I'm getting home at 1:30, and I don't know what happened. All I know is I'm coming up to the junction, you know, 2 miles to go, 1 mile to go, should be taking the junction just about now, and the next thing, I'm on the opposite side of the road.
Wow.
I don't know.
Just, you need to read my book and try those exercises.
Yeah, we'll be doing, yeah.
Because you know what? Maybe you are like me, and you know, because I wonder about all the paranormal podcasters. Are they exactly like me, where they've had situations and they need this book as much as, you know, anyone else?
If paranormal podcasters are going to buy it, you'll sell millions, because there's quite a few of us at the minute. But,
yeah, absolutely. Wow, that's amazing. So I actually haven't, that hasn't happened to me, but what's happened to me is I've been put back at exactly the, almost exactly the same time I left. So it happened once with my husband in the car. But to the people that are there, it doesn't seem like anything's changed. I mean, obviously you didn't have a passenger, right? When you were driving.
No, it was on my own, yeah.
Yeah, so when I was driving, my husband was in the car with me and I left. And then I was, and in my reality, right before I left, the light has changed from red to green. But when I came back, I was, it was right before it was a changing. So I started moving forward because as far as I was concerned, it had changed to green, but it hadn't. So something like that happened where I didn't lose an hour or anything. This last time I was driving, and I was trying to merge onto a freeway, and I drive a stick, so a stick shift, a manual transmission, which is not very common these days, but I was shifting from third, about to go to fourth, and when I came back into my car, I was still in third, and I was sort of like not merging. I was sort of drifting to the side, to the right side of the road, and it was just really unnerving. And I get really mad when that happens because it's so dangerous. If you're going to take me out while I'm in the midst of driving, you know, it's dangerous.
Yeah, it does make you wonder if they've got a control over time that we just can't understand.
Yes, I agree. I think that's true because there were times when I woke up in the middle of the night after being taken, and I would wake up and feel like I'd been sleeping for a while. And I'd wake up at 12:30, and then the next time I woke up, it was 12:30, and then I woke up a third time at 12:30. So it seems like there's something, some, you know.
Yeah, that's impossible, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something's going on there, but I don't know what it is. And that's one of the problems, is so hard to wrap our head around some of these things. We don't have, you know, the experience or the yeah, the experience of dealing with these things. So we don't even have a name for some of these things. I mean, I had to make up the word time bending in my book because there's no word for what I was experiencing.
No. Other than Groundhog Day, I suppose. It's about it. Yeah,
exactly. But, which we just had.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, like I say, it's fascinating, and hopefully, you know, you'll get some messages and hopefully get some closure on it all. But
yeah, I hope so. I mean, that is my goal. My goal is for it to stop. It's not to be famous. It's not to sell books necessarily, but just to get the word out and to make it stop. That is my goal. I don't want this experience anymore. And since they're clearly not going to stop, I'm going to have to stop them. And I'm willing to go the long road to get that done.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
No worries. I'll pop the links that you've sent over in the show notes and that, so people can find your book. And like I say, hopefully it goes well. So thank you again.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, I hope you found that interesting. If you did, check out the links below and get Lisa's book, especially if you've experienced something similar yourself, and hopefully the little guide in there or the little help section might help you out. You know, I'm fascinated by alien abductions, I really am. But it's, you know, it's one of them things that you don't really want to experience, I guess. You kind of do on one hand and know that it's real, but you kind of don't on the other hand. Different to a Bigfoot encounter, obviously, because you can experience that from a car, etc. And you know, you sort of feel safe. I'm not saying you are safe, but you feel safe, and it's, you know, everyone can sort of go along with that. You know, it's not a bad experience to have. Obviously, it changes your paradigm, but alien abduction is slightly different. I think we can all agree there. But that being said, like I said at the beginning, you know, we are working on getting shows out. So thank you very much for hanging in there with us.
Hope you're all fantastically well, given the current crisis. And like I say, we will get a show out as soon as possible. So thank you very much for joining us again, and we will see you on the other side.
Well, they've gone.
No, just for now. It wasn't the right time for us to meet. But there'll be other nights, other stars for us to watch. They'll be back.